Last week, Pastor Wes gave a message that discussed the final teachings of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He talked about the narrow gate and how only a few will be able to find it. He talked about false prophets and how we can expect wolves dressed as sheep to maybe lead us in the wrong direction. And of course, Jesus continues in his Sermon on the Mount by telling the crowds how that everyone who necessarily calls him Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven unless they do the will of the Father. Even those who he described would drive out demons and perform miracles would be greeted by him in a different way, with him saying, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. In this morning's message, Jesus turns the focus from those who he was talking about who do evil deeds that were just mentioned to those that were there hearing his teachings. He describes two builders, one that builds a house on solid rock and one that builds his house on sand. So you can open up your Bibles now to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Once again, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and we will read through the final verses of Jesus' sermon. The scripture reads, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. What is Jesus necessarily talking about here? It's no secret, whether you know much about building a home or not, that it's smart to build a house with a strong foundation. Because as we all know, when we live in a house without a strong foundation, it can lead to greater problems within that house. And also, to fix that foundation can be very costly. But even though Jesus was a carpenter in his early ages, he isn't specifically talking about how we should build our actual houses. Even though it is good advice to build your house with a solid foundation. No, Jesus is talking here about how do we stand spiritually. And we must note that when we are built on a shaky foundation spiritually, it can be costly as well. Remember, Jesus just got done talking about how we should watch out for false prophets and false disciples. And he's talking about and describing the teachings of those who speak in one way and then walk in a different way. He also says how we can spot them. He said that we could look at the fruits of their labors and their walk with him and just see if they were true disciples and teachers of his word. Are what they teaching actually what God is saying within the scriptures? We live in a world where sin has bled its way into our lives. And as time goes on, it just seems like that sin is now hemorrhaging more and more every day. And many who lead congregations want to open up that gate to a road that once was narrow. They want to perform road construction on it and make it a multiple lane highway so that more people can get into it and as many as possible. They say, come to Christ, call to him, Lord, call him your Savior and you will be saved. That is what they say. And this is true. We're saved by faith in Christ, but what are they leaving out? It's true that we are saved by our faith in Christ, as I just said, in naming him our Lord and Savior. But when we do so, there will be signs that this is actually true. However, many in today's world have watered down the scriptures and the gospels so that they don't seem so intimidating. They take advantage of the blood of Christ and the grace and mercy that God gives us so that we can feel better about our life choices. We think that because we have called Jesus Lord, that we can still sin mindlessly and get away with it. That we can do whatever we want and still get into the kingdom of heaven. Because why not? Jesus died upon the cross and rose from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins, right? You may go to church every Sunday and ask for forgiveness for the things that you did on Saturday night. But has this become a routine? I can do whatever I want throughout the week because I have an appointment with God on Sunday morning, and He will prescribe me the medication that will clean my soul from the sins that I've committed within this past week, we think. And it pains me to say this, but that is comparable to fool's gold. But in this case, we have fool's faith. So, Pastor Tyler, how do we know then when we're truly saved then? Why? I don't want to go to hell, and I don't want to be cast out of God's presence for eternity. And hell, we have to realize, is a real place. And nobody wants to go there. Many will argue in today's world that they don't want to worship a God that sends anybody to hell. But we must remember that God doesn't send anyone to hell. It is us who sends ourselves there. God is here to rescue us. And the one He sent to rescue us was Himself as Jesus Christ. We have a hero. We've had 15 fires within Salina or Saline County for homes since the beginning of the year. Did you know that? Now, can you imagine being in your home and you are in one of those fires and a fireman comes through with his axe and his hose and he breaks down the door to rescue you and there's flames and there's smoke just boiling all around you and you say, "No, thank you. I got this." Seems foolish, doesn't it? And yet we do so in our very own lives when it comes to our sin, that we think that our own self-righteousness can save us. Also here in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus warns us about those who could get us off track. We have to be on alert. Jesus tells us how Satan waits for us to stumble as if we are prey. He studies us. And it isn't always a vicious attack that might be what we imagine as he comes. No, he comes in camouflage and as a coward, just like he did in the Garden of Eden when he appeared to Eve. And just as he approached Christ when he was in the wilderness and he tempted him, he comes and he twists Scripture, making it less convicting and easier to follow within our lives. A couple years ago, Holly and I were in Hobby Lobby, my wife Holly, and we were doing some Christmas shopping, and we came across a coffee mug. And I wish I would have bought it then, because I haven't seen it since. And on it, it said, "I can do all things through Scripture taken out of context." How we've seen that in today's world, haven't we? This generation loves to look at books. We love to look at podcasts that give us advice on how to live better lives and to be happier. Follow your heart. Be true to yourself and who you are. I have yet to find any Bible verses that state these kind of sayings. Now, of course, we want to be happy, and God wants us to be happy also. But so often we look at the Bible and we see it as a rule book. We see it for a way that we should live our lives, but we think, man, that is strict. We think of God as a party pooper that just needs to chill out. But in the end, these instructions that God gives us through Scripture, and as Jesus does here in His Sermon on the Mount, are not there to eliminate the fun that we can have while enjoying life. They're there to protect us from ourselves. Now, I'm a parent of three young children, and often, almost every night, when I'm cooking supper, one of them will come in, and of course, what do they ask? Can I have a cookie or can I have a snack? But as we all know, if I give them a snack or a cookie, they won't eat their dinner that night. That dinner that is built up of more nutritious things that's healthier for them. Most of the time, it's more healthier for them. So I have to tell them no. It's not that I'm trying to be mean or ruin their life. I'm just protecting them and giving them guidance. When God tells us no or not to do something, it is for our own good. It is Him showing us that He loves us and He wants what is best for us. But as we said earlier, many in today's world will question God's guidance. They will say such things as, "You only live once." We've all heard that one. "You deserve to be happy." They completely eliminate the fact that when we follow God's guidance, then we will not only maybe be happy, but we will experience true joy. a joy that can't be lost because it's not built on circumstances or objects that we possess. And Jesus is warning us here about those who can take what God has said and twist it so that we can feel less guilty of our purposefully sin. As parents, we tell our kids no to something. And when we do so, we are doing so that they will be safe. And we do it because we love them and don't want to see them be hurt. And we don't want to see them hurt others. And God is the exact same way. And just as we want our children to be around fellow Christians and those that are a good influence, God wants us to do so as well. We warn our children about friends that can be bad influences and lead them to horrible situations. And here in his final verses of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is doing the same thing. He's not necessarily talking about those that we meet up with on the playground at school or at other friends' houses. He's talking about us in our everyday lives. He says that also that during our lives, we will come across struggles, temptations, trials. And if we build our faith on his teachings, on his words, on his guidance, then we will stand strong and we won't crumble. But if we follow the teachings of those who bend his word, who twist his truth, and then they lure us into believing them, then we will crumble because our faith and knowledge of who he really is was built on the sand. If you turn to the person right next to you right now and you ask them who Jesus is to them, odds are your description of who Jesus is to you would be different from the person next to you. Who's right? Who's wrong? We don't have to ask those questions because Jesus is who he reveals himself to be throughout the entire scriptures. We can know that if we are being taught his truth by really knowing who Christ is. And if we know that by reading his word and applying it to our lives, we will see him work. We will be trusting in him, and that is called faith. We obey him, whether we understand it or not, and we leave the consequences to him. And when he tells us to do something through his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit that is living within us, we can make sure that it is from him by comparing it to God's character that he reveals to us throughout the entire Bible. Remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I had an older man years ago say, "Why do we even bother with the Old Testament? Why don't we just study the Gospels?" And the reason is because God never changes. It is from Genesis 1:1 all the way through the book of Revelation that we need. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 tells us that the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. If we hear God's word and we fail to apply it to our lives, and we live the way that he instructs us to, or we fail to do so, then we will wither like the grasses and we will crumble in the sand if we don't apply it. But if we take what we have learned from him, we apply it and we live it out, then we will endure forever in his kingdom. We can believe in Christ's instructions from his Sermon on the Mount and we can take them as good advice. But if we fail to apply them, then we have nothing. We can say that we have faith, but in the end, when the storms rise up in our lives, do we really have the faith in Christ and that relationship with him that he has described to us here? Some of the most amazing people that I know have gone through some of the most unimaginable experiences in their lives. These experiences are things that can really shake a person down to their core and ruin their lives to a certain point that they could have just given up everything. Some of those people are here today in worship. But these individuals stood strong within the storm, and they give all the credit in doing so to God and their faith in Jesus Christ. My grandmother was a wonderful person. In fact, she was the first person that I ever said I wanted to be a pastor to. I was a little boy at that time. We were on our way home from church, and I said, I want to be a pastor when I grow up. And she said, well, why is that? Expecting something just Holy Spirit-led. You know, you're expecting the clouds to open up and the sun to break through. My answer was, well, they only work on Sundays. She's been with the Lord now for a number of years, and I wish that I could tell her that that's not the reason anymore. We work more than just Sundays, by the way. But to tell her why, and it was because of her, which was a big reason. You see, when she was just 7 years old, a little girl, the man that she looked up to in her life, her hero, her father, was tragically killed in a construction accident. Now, this was the early 1900s. And back then, when a family member passed away, they would prepare the body and they would come and they would put it in the casket and they would put it in the parlor, the living room of your house. And that's where they would stay until the time of burial. You can imagine just the pain, the agony, the scars, what it could do to a little girl to have to go through that. Later on in her life, when she was a young woman, her first husband got up to go to work. It was a normal day. He went to work, never came home. Left her there to raise just a little baby boy at that time, just her and him. As her life went on, she battled cancer and other sicknesses. She had to bury two of her own children before she was called home. She never really had much of anything. But what she had a lot of was faith in Jesus Christ. And she would tell you that you don't have to understand everything that happens to you and that we go through, but we must know that there is a purpose and God knows that purpose. And while she experienced all these storms in her life, she clung to Christ. The winds blew, the streams rose, the rain fell, but she stood strong in her faith because that faith was built on solid ground. If she didn't have that relationship with Christ, with that one true living God, she could have been easily swept away. But her faith sustained her. It was a solid faith. This life of living on the narrow road and abiding in Christ will be hard. It's a mission not to be taken lightly. Jesus warns us later also in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household. When we walk with Christ and follow his ways, we will have enemies. We will be attacked from every direction. We can live in faith and see good fruits from our works when the sun is shining, when the birds are chirping and everything's going good. But what about when the going gets tough? That's when our relationship with Christ shines through the most. It is a total dependency on him, and others will see it come through as well. Just as my grandmother's story and faith and fruits spoke to me, your story and actions will speak to others as well. And it's how we handle ourselves and we let Christ live through us that matters. Our words of vocal proclamation of our faith don't really mean much if the actions are not there. We can talk the talk, but will we walk the walk? I encourage everybody that's here today that if Christ has brought you through a storm or many storms in your life, tell others about it. Because you never know who is looking for that glimmer of hope. And they can find that hope in Christ just as you did. The rains will fall, the streams will rise, and the winds will blow. Will you apply his word to your life? Will you remain standing? My wife loves to do projects around the house. Whose doesn't, right? And a couple years ago, she wanted to add, I believe it's called a pergola, over our back deck. So me being the man said, I've got this, honey. Truth is, I had no clue. How hard could it be? We went to Lowe's, we got the materials, watched a YouTube video or two. I had this. A couple days later, a long couple days later, the pergola was done. It was built. But I will be honest with you, because I had no professional help or guidance on it. Every time the Kansas winds pick up and blow like they can, or a heavy snowstorm or a storm comes, I'm peeking out that back window. Every night when I'm in bed and I hear the thunder clap, I just think, oh God, please help that thing stay up. How are you on your spiritual life? Do you stay up at night when the going gets tough, wondering, do I got this? Is my faith firm enough for me to stand through this storm? The storms will come. And I ask you now, how strong is your foundation? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for investing in us with your teachings and helping us just to see the significance of how important it is that we apply it to our lives. Help us stay true to your word, not taking it out of context, but being on alert for those who do. Help us build a strong foundation in you so that when the storms of life come, we can stand strong in your word, in your care, without question, without doubt, and in total obedience to you. As we surrender to you and we leave all the consequences in your hands, Father, we trust you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. We love you. Amen.
I want you to stand as we respond to the word we just received.
Questions I can't answer. I'm paralyzed by what.